بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. This is the coronavirus version of Swiss again. Just trying to make sure that I get content out to you guys as best I can, and forgive me for not having all the bells and whistles, but subhanAllah, man, you know, this is how things are sometimes. May Allah make it easy for us, inshallah. And, you know, just like a lot of us, especially in New York City in quarantine, not us, we're in quarantine, but been asked, kind of the whole city, to be somewhat careful how we live our lives. But alhamdulillah for Allah, for this deen, and for us being together. And we're starting this really important subject, usul al-fiqh. Let's pick up where we left off. Last time we were talking about mabadi al-ashara, right? Those 10 building blocks of learning that are so important that you want to know before you go into a subject. And that's one of the things I really hope that I can do at Swiss. Is my background is education. I did a degree in education. Like, I love it, man. It's my field, and it's something that I treasure. So I also like to teach how to teach, if that makes sense. So as I said earlier, you can use it as a rubric. And now what we're going to do is we're going to apply what we learned, the theory of those 10, and see how it plugs into the subject, usul al-fiqh. So here we go. First of all, let's talk about its definition. And scholars of usul al-fiqh, they tend to define usul al-fiqh in two ways. Number one is by taking the compound word, usul is one word, fiqh is another. If you take an Arabic with me, usul is a jam' taksir, right? It's a plural, broken plural. Usul, like rijal, usul al-fiqh. So it's the foundations of Islamic law. So they would take that first word, usul, and the second word, fiqh, define usul, and then define fiqh, and then bring them together. That's the classic style. It's called ta'rif murakkab, where bring two words together. So usul al-fiqh is made up of two words. Usul is the singular. You can see it right there. You can see the usul, foundations. It's singular. Is usul, foundation. Fiqh means to understand. The definition implies that usul, a fiqh, is the process needed to understand religious text. There was a great scholar of old, Imam Safarini, who said that, not a Safarini, al-Ustaz, al-Razi, who said that the word fiqh actually doesn't mean to understand, but fiqh means to understand something daqiq, something like really subtle, like a deeper level of understanding, mudaqiq. So, you know, you don't say like fiqh to annaka mawjood. You don't say to someone like, I fiqh that you're here. You say fiqh annaka atayta min bilad kada. Like you would use it to imply that you were able to discern something, that there was this set of what's called isharat or dalil. There was a set of dalil that directed you to something that wasn't apparent, right? So faqihta anna ad-dukhan dalil ala wujud an-nar. So like if you see far, like smoke from far away, you could say like, I've understood that the smoke is an indication of a fire. So fiqh, according to him, and also Imam Ibn Qayyim, means that you understand something very, very subtle and deep, that it involves inference. That's very important, because fiqh is really the science of inferring and deducing what the khitab of Allah is, what the message of God is. So Allah says in the Quran, لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ حَدِيثًا. Like those people cannot understand the deeper speech, right? They can understand what you say. مَا we don't نَفْقَهُ. We don't understand a lot of what you say. The Quran, they said to their prophet, like, we're not really getting the deeper meaning of what you say. That's why the prophet said, مَنْ يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whoever Allah wants good for gives him the fiqh, a deeper understanding of religion. The second way is, when we talk about the had of usul al-fiqh, is a scientific definition where scholars said, listen, usul al-fiqh is so popular, now it has its own definition. There's no need to break down the compound definition So they would say ma'rifatu dalail ijmal, and actually it should be here. And this is a mistake I made years ago when I wrote this. And this is the definition of Imam Al-Qadi Al-Baydawi in a book called Al-Minhaj. Right here it should be ma'rifatu dalail al-fiqh. So there shouldn't be an alif lam here. Dalail al-fiqh ijmalan wa kayfiyat istifadati minha wa hal mustafid. Man, this definition is very important. Very important. If you look at it, look, there's three parts to it. Ma'rifatu dalail fiqh ijmalan. One, knowing the evidences of fiqh. Wa kayfiyat istifadati minha. Two, how to benefit from those evidences. Wa hal mustafid. And the third is, what are the qualities of the one who can benefit? What's the academic criterion? So you see there's three parts. That's why it's called usul fiqh, not aslu fiqh. It's called usul fiqh because there's three foundations. Knowing the evidences, knowing how to benefit with the evidences, and knowing the qualities of the person who can employ those evidences for benefit. And there's a lot happening here that I want to share with you quickly. Number one is, when he says istifadati minha, how do you benefit? So that implies that if someone doesn't know how to use these evidences, they won't make istifad, they'll make fasad. They'll make istifsad. So if I don't know how to use them correctly, I may actually contribute to corruption. So the idea here is someone has to learn how to use the evidences properly to bring benefit. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but remember what I just said. And then look what he says here. He doesn't say wahad al alim. He doesn't say the conditions of the alim. He says, what are the conditions of the benefiter? Mustafid is an active participle. What is the academic qualifications needed for somebody who brings benefit to people? So in other words, the ethos of scholarship, the ethos of the faqih is to benefit people, mashallah, by bringing them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Excuse me. That's really cool though. And you can see where Imam al-Baydawi is taking his joint. It's like thorough, mashallah. As I just said, there are three parts to his definition. The first is that usul al-fiqh is a science having its own definition. Ma'rifatu dalail al-fiqh ijmalan wa kayfiyat istifadati minha wa hal al-mustafid. This means knowing what can and cannot be used as an evidence. So this is the first part. Ma'rifatu dalail al-fiqh ijmalan. So the Quran is an evidence, the Sunnah is an evidence, Qiyas is an evidence, analogy, evidence. But what happened last night on the gram, that ain't evidence. Oh, well, last night on the gram I saw this, so this must mean this is haram. I went to Costco and slipped and fell, so it must be haram to go to Costco. Personal experiences aren't allowed to be used as evidence. So ma'rifatu dalail means two things. Not only am I learning what the evidences are, I'm also learning what is not allowed to be used as an evidence. That's why I put at the bottom here, there is duality happening here. And oftentimes that's the case with classical scholars. You read one thing, but what's inferred is the other reading of what's going on. The word dalil, this is where we hear a lot of people talking about, right? The word dalil means an evidence. Dalilun nar. We say ad-dukhan, dalilun nar. So right here, there should be the word ad-dukhan, smoke, dalilun nar. And is defined by scholars, and this is Imam al-Baji's definition of dalil. This is amazing. Check this out. ما يمكن علم مطلوب الخبر أو ظنه بصحيح الفكر فيه المؤدي إلى علمه أو ظنه. Man, it's not easy to translate this. But what al-Baji is saying is that a dalil is what can lead to a definitive or presumptive conclusion. I want you to remember that there are two types of dalil. A definitive dalil, self-explanatory, doesn't need a lot of work, and a dalil which is based on a presumption of a scholar. So now you can see where there's the etiquettes of differences, because everything is not definitive. In fact, most of fiqh is going to be the opposite. It's going to be presumptive. So a dalil is what can lead to a definitive or presumptive conclusion by properly learning and understanding it. Here he's talking about recognizing it and recognizing how to use it and how to employ it. So actually right there is almost another definition of what I talked about, knowing the evidences, how to benefit with the evidences, who can benefit with the evidence is packed in that. If you look here, there are two type of evidences. What's called definitive qat'i, a self-evident text that requires no interpretation, investigation, or understanding. Imam Ibn Hajib, he said, ما لا يحتمل تأويل. It's a text that doesn't allow for interpretation. Like when the Prophet said, pray five times. I mean, like, what's five? How do you interpret five? It's very clear. تِلْكَ عَشَرَةٌ كَامِلَةٌ. Allah said, if you fast three and then seven, that's 10. 10 is 10. That's definitive. Speculative or dhanni, a text that requires some interpretation, investigation, or understanding. Imam Ibn Hajib said, مَا يَحْتَمِلُ تَأْوِيلٌ وَالِاجْتِهَادٌ. What allows for interpretation and what demands ijtihad, meaning a scholar working to try to understand the text. So again, dalil, because he said ma'rifatu dalail. We're talking now about the first of the 10 parts of the building blocks of usul al-fiqh. We haven't got to usul al-fiqh, man. We're still in the 10 building blocks. Ma'rifatu dalail. What's dalail? The plural of dalil. Dalail is also jama' taksir for my Arabic students. What does dalil mean and evidence? And just for your information, a dalil is an evidence for something besides itself. So the smoke isn't the fire. My footprints isn't me, but my footprints are an evidence for me, and the fire is an evidence for me. So the evidences of the Quran and Sunnah often are going to be brought together to prove a ruling that they're not explicitly associated to. In that process, there's going to be two type of evidences. Number one, qat'i, self-evident, right? So that's going to be the unique one that is actually evidencing itself, rarely. And the second, speculative, which is the mass majority of fiqh, mabni ala dhan. That's why Imam al-Baydawi in al-Manhaj said, wa dhanna fi tariqihi. You know, he said that in the process of coming to a fiqhi conclusion, there is a bit of speculation, or like a presumptive process. That's important because there's no takfir in that. There's not calling someone who's qualified an innovator out of Islam. What we see sometimes with some of the neo-traditionalist movements or even some of the Salafi movements is that they will actually declare someone out of Islam who's a qualified scholar or groups of scholars, not based on the definitive issues, but over the speculative issues. At ground zero in communities, do you think Tarawih is definitive or speculative? It's speculative. But what do people fight over? Tarawih. Do you think, for example, the eating meat outside is definitive or speculative? It's speculative, but people fight over it like it's definitive. So you can see where there's a lot of issues that usul al-fiqh can solve for, mashallah, local communities that we'll talk about in the future. The word dalil means, like as I said earlier, an evidence for something besides itself. And what did I mean by speculative? There's a spelling error there implying that scholar's assumption is so strong such that it will guide his approach or her approach on an issue before and after he reaches a conclusion. We're going to break that down in the future, inshallah. What do we mean by concrete or qat'i? Explicit, implying that conclusion of the scholar based on principles and his assessment is definitive, meaning his or her engagement in that process was limited. There was not a lot of scholarly engagement in that. So if you ask most children, you know, what's the ruling on lying, haram? They're not scholars, but that's qat'i thubut. Final thoughts on dalil here again is the definition, ma yumkinu ilmu al-matlubu bil-khabari aw dhanni. So here you understand why he says, ma yumkinu ilm al-matlub. You're trying to seek a knowledge-based presumption based on either khabari or dhanni. Khabari or dhanni. This implies that there's going to be some leeway. Bisahih al-fikri, the right process, meaning following the process of usul al-fiqh, fihi, in that process, fihi, al-mu'addi ila ilmihi al-dhanni, which is going to help and aid that person's conclusion or presumption. Not easy to translate that, man. Next time, inshallah, we're going to start to talk about the evidences. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.